coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of studies on the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. One day we will die. There is no secret about death. However, is death the end of everything? Is there any hope beyond the grave? The world as we know it goes on and on. Good things are done and enjoyable events take place. Horrible things are done and shocking events take place. Will this go on forever? Will our present world one day come to an end? We will give answers to these questions in this study. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, we read as follows. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The Apostle Paul doesn't want the Thessalonians and us to be uninformed about what will happen to the dead. The Apostle refers to the dead as those who are asleep. The same way sleep lasts a certain time and then it is followed by being awake, so also death will last a period and then it will be followed by being awakened by the Lord. It is very sad if a person has no hope at all beyond the grave. Inscriptions on tombs and references in literature show that first century unbelievers viewed death with horror as the end of everything. So it continues today that some people are horrified with the simple fact of mentioning death. Christians, however, do have hope because they know of the resurrection. Can we be certain that there will be resurrection? We can. Why? Because we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Jesus surely died and was buried, but he did not remain in the grave. Jesus rose on Easter Sunday. He definitely overcame death. Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee of the resurrection of the dead. Jesus himself said, "Because I live, you also will live." And again Jesus says and promises, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." When will the resurrection take place? The dead will be raised on the last day when Jesus will return to earth. The Apostle Paul says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Death is powerful indeed. It strikes down anybody. However, death will not be able to resist the all-powerful command of the Lord Jesus. The dead will rise. Jesus himself says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Not all will be dead when the Lord returns. What will happen to those who will be alive on that occasion? The Apostle Paul explains that those who will be living when the Lord returns will obviously not die. Together with those who will be raised, they will see the return of the Lord. Right after the resurrection of the dead, those living will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. On the occasion of the Lord's return, the risen and the living will be gathered together. This will be a public event, with loud voices and trumpet blast. The risen believers and the living believers will be gathered in one great fellowship. Then the Apostle Paul makes this strong and comforting remark, "And so we will always be with the Lord." What was hope will be reality. What was seen by faith will be seen with the very eyes. All the troubles, adversities, pain, and death will be left behind. We will be with the Lord forever in heaven. This is the final goal of the Christian faith. Life eternal in heaven in the company of the Lord Jesus, the holy angels, and all the risen believers. This is what we envision already now and will attain in full by God's grace and mercy on the last day. With this message of comfort, we can encourage each other while we are still here on earth facing our daily struggles. We wait for the Lord returning. When will that happen? The Apostle Paul answers and clarifies the matter. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, Paul writes, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, 'There is peace and security,' then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." Over the centuries, there have been much speculation and calculation to find out the day of the Lord's return. Human reckoning and inventive predictions have failed and will continue to fail. We join in thought and faith the Apostle Paul and confess, "We are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." No one knows the plans of a thief. He holds them in secret. No one knows when the thief might come, so it is important to be alert and watchful all the time. In the same way, no one can read the mind of the Lord. He did not reveal the day and hour of His return, when the dead will be raised and when the great judgment will take place. The day of the Lord is certainly on God's calendar. It will be the climax of all things, when the Lord will come and intervene with judgment and blessing. It will be the day when the sentence of condemnation will be pronounced over all people who disbelieved and rejected Christ. It will be the day of indescribable joy when the believers in Christ will be called into heaven. Paul goes on speaking about the day of the Lord, saying that it will come as a surprise to many. While people are saying, "There is peace and security," then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Some people don't believe that the end of the world will ever happen. They just go on with life and think the world will just continue to roll on forever. However, they will be caught by surprise when the Lord will come. A pregnant woman knows that at some point in time she will enter labor. Labor pains will come without previous notice. They will come suddenly. So also the day of the Lord will come suddenly. It will be a day of destruction which no unbelievers will escape. It will be a day of utter and hopeless ruin and despair for those who rejected Christ, because they will fall under God's righteous judgment. Only those sheltered in Christ's grace and mercy will escape God's wrath and will be saved. Since the day of the Lord will come suddenly, the Apostle Paul gives instructions how to live and prepare for that great day. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 to 11, we read the following. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep, as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Paul contrasts darkness and light, living as in the darkness and living as sons of light, sleeping and being awake. Darkness, night, being asleep are expressions that refer to unbelief, to a life apart from Christ, to the practice of sins, and to be unprepared to meet the Lord. Light, sons of the day and sons of the light, are expressions that refer to a life in Christ, believing in him and conducting oneself accordingly. Those who live in darkness and are asleep will be caught by surprise and will be unprepared on the day of the Lord. Paul encourages the believers to keep awake and be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Here military language is being used. Particularly the common apparel of Roman soldiers is meant. Paul advises the Thessalonians to guard their faith and love in Christ and his promises in the gospel, so that they may withstand all kinds of spiritual assaults. Faith in Christ, who died for us, will spare us from suffering God's wrath. By faith we will obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's purpose is the salvation of all people. He has no pleasure in the condemnation of anyone. To this end, Christ gave his life in sacrifice on the cross as the substitute of sinners, as the blameless and holy Son of God, who out of love died on behalf of sinners so that they may be free from the wrath of God. With this message of promise and assurance from God, Paul advises the Thessalonians to encourage one another and build one another up. Paul gives final instructions in the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 12 to 22. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. In the Church of Thessalonica were leaders, perhaps elders, who worked hard to protect the believers. They did their job voluntarily, out of love, as it is the case in many churches in our days. These leaders deserved respect and high honor because of the work they did, says the apostle. Paul also advises the Thessalonians to live in peace with the leaders and all in general. Paul warns those who are idle. It seems that some Thessalonians were so sure that the Lord would return very soon that they had given up their jobs in order to prepare for that day. Paul says they should work. In the same way, faint-hearted should be encouraged, the weak should be helped, and everyone should be patient with everyone. Apart from that, nobody should repay anyone evil for evil. Instead, everyone should do good to everyone. The apostle also motivates the Thessalonians to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for believers in Christ Jesus. Note how up-to-date and how practical these instructions of the apostle are. Each of them matches our circumstances. What does Paul mean when he writes, "Do not quench the Spirit"? Quenching the Holy Spirit means a behavior that grieves the Holy Spirit, such as idleness and immorality. The Thessalonians are also warned, "Do not despise prophecies." Some of the believers might have valued more the spectacular gifts, such as the gift of speaking in tongues, than prophecy. The gift of prophecy, that is, the proclamation of God's word, should not be despised. The Thessalonians are also advised to test everything, that is, to examine everything, to see whether it is according to God's teachings. Once everything is tested, follows the ability to hold fast what is good and discard what is useless. Finally, abstain from every form of evil, says the apostle. The remaining words of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians are dedicated to prayer and blessing. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 to 28. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Paul prays that God may sanctify the Thessalonians, that is, that they would remain and grow in faith and Christian living. In this way, they would be prepared to meet the Lord on the last day. Paul reminds the believers that God has called them to faith through the gospel. God is faithful. He will fulfill his promises. Paul asks the Thessalonians to pray for him. Let us pray for each other, and especially for those who proclaim the gospel. Paul sends warm greetings to all. In those days, a kiss was a normal greeting, similar to our modern handshake. Then Paul uses very strong language, putting the Thessalonians under oath before the Lord to have his letter read to all the brothers. Paul clearly wanted every member of the church to read or hear his letter and to know of his concern and advice for them. We close this series of studies on 1 Thessalonians with the concluding words of Paul, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.